Back on VSiN's Primetime Action, it's Gil Alexander, Matt Brown, Daniel Alvari, Kelly Bidlin, Lou Finicaro still to come talk UFC with us. Nice shot by Kentavious Caldwell-Pope at the end of the first half. Lakers up 6 at the half. Ooh, I like that bet that I made. Plus 149 there. What do you got?
Looking good so far, yeah. 63-57. Lakers laying 3.5 now, minus 180 on the money line. So, yeah, you're looking good right now, Gil, and everybody else. Everybody else has Lakers bet here except for me because I haven't put one in yet.
Come on, Kelly.
I know, right? On college basketball, the game just went off the board. I was looking at Wichita State-Memphis. Memphis just beat them 72-52. That game's over. Congratulations if you bet on Memphis. NHL, Jets all over the Senators, 4-0, 15 minutes ago in that game. Live total, 5.5. Flyers up on the Bruins, beginning of the third, 2-0. Live total there, 4.5. You could lay 2.5 goals with the Flyers at plus 120 if you were so inclined. End of the second period in Columbus, Lightning up 2-1 now. Blue Jackets were up 1-0 when we checked in on this earlier. Lightning minus 450 live, plus 340 coming back the other way. 5.5 live total. Islanders up on the Devils 2-1. 19 minutes ago in the third period, their Islanders minus 500 live, plus 375 coming back the other way with the Devils. And live total in that game is 4.5.
By the way, Liverpool's 68-match home streak broken today. For those who like Premier League soccer, Burnley beat them on a penalty kick in like the 83rd minute or something. 68 games in a row they won at home.
I'm not the biggest EPL guy, but I do believe they had like 3 draws in a row or something coming into this as well. I'll check. You don't think so?
Perhaps. I don't know.
Yes. But you get a point for a draw. You get a point. So your point streak would still be your life.
Can I review our interview with Johnny Avello? Because I think there's a couple things stated in there that I don't want to let slide by. Well, first of all, one, I get a C- because I could have just asked him about the weekend before I said see you later. But the two interesting things were, one, and I think this is great to ask this question, in championship week, 5% of the handle to this point, we're here Thursday night, games in 2.5 days. They've only gotten 5% of their handle.
Which is why we've said on here when we had that debate about the closing line value thing, where we're like,
right,
it is a great thing to talk about, but for 90% of bettors, 99% of bettors out there, it is not even in the realm of possibility for them to even try and bring that into what they're doing with their betting, which, again, it's a great conversation to have, and it's certainly something that we should explain and why it could be important, but we are very in the bubble, and we live in the bubble, whereas 99% of people, it just doesn't affect
them. No doubt about it.
Sorry, Gil, 3 of their last 5 were draws coming into the game.
Okay. So. The other thing that was stated there, which I'm glad somebody finally said this. So last Sunday when Mahomes got hurt, I got in a debate with my buddy, who's a really successful sports bettor, my buddy E, and I was saying, like, why are people putting up this line? And he's like, oh, it's minus 1,000 that Mahomes is going to play. Of course, they're going to put it up, blah, 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 blah. Everybody's a doctor now, right? And I'm like, yeah, but, dude, you don't know that. You're not a doctor. What if he doesn't play? All right, so it looks like, by all indications, he's going to play. But Johnny said it unlike anybody else this week. He said, if this were a regular season game, that line still would not be up. So I feel corroborated to some degree that the nature of these books now, certain books, not behind us, for instance, at the South Point, but a book that's in multiple jurisdictions like DraftKings, it was more important for them, no judgment in the statement, more important for them to just get it up.
Get the money flowing.
And then bookmake. Yeah. So there's odds making and then there's bookmaking. We use those interchangeably. Odds making, okay, just put it up at the number. We can bookmake our way out of this if necessary, if he doesn't play or whatever.
I think the other nugget that I took away from that was he said that if Mahomes doesn't play, he thinks his thing could get to Bills minus 4.
Yeah.
That doesn't surprise me. That surprise you?
I thought it would just flip field goals. I didn't think it would get through the 3.
But. Well, okay, so we had this conversation this morning. Bill Krakenberger, famous sort of iconic bettor here in Las Vegas, was on a numbers game on VSiN this morning with me, as he is each and every Thursday morning. And he started out the conversation, I didn't, by saying a buddy of his who he considers a professional bettor or pretty sharp bettor, I can't remember how he phrased it, thought that the difference between Mahomes and Henny would be 10 points. By the way, it's Gil Alexander, Matt Brown, Danielle Avari, and Kelly Bidlin. This is VEASAN's primetime action on a Thursday night. And Bill was remarking at how, you know, he's like, oh, 10 points is ridiculous. I can't believe this guy thought it would be 10 points. And he said, he goes, he follows up by saying, I don't think there's a difference of more than 3 points between a starting quarterback and a backup quarterback. And I said, okay, well, now you've, that's too low.
Right. Well, especially when you're talking about literally a top three quarterback in the entire NFL.
The cheat code of the NFL, the greatest player in the league, Patrick Mahomes. And what you're just saying is it is actually a 7-point difference. And specifically in this conversation, it's not a static conversation. So this is an AFC championship against the Buffalo Bills. He's worth 7 points. Like Tom Brady at the height of his powers for the Patriots, the difference between him and his backup in a home game against the Jets versus an away game against Aaron Rodgers is a different answer to that question.
Right.
He's worth way more in the tougher game. The easy game, it's like, whatever, Tom Brady, schmom, schmady, right? So that matters too. So the fact that Mahomes, right, 7 points... When we used to do this exercise for every NFL team like 3 years ago when Andrew Luck was still playing, by the way, Andrew Luck saying he's not coming back, any Colts fans out there who are hoping that, Luck versus Tolzien, I believe Tolzien, Scott Tolzien out of Wisconsin, that was the biggest difference, and we estimated it when you averaged out all the possibilities, about 7.5 points.
Honestly, because of the nature of the game, like you're saying, I would be more surprised if he was actually out, that if it closed... I would be more surprised, but it closing closer to 3 than I would 5 or 6. Buffalo 5 or 6.
You'd be more surprised if it were 3.
I think it would end up being an 8 or 9 point difference.
Wow.
Interesting. I mean, so Henny's also not your... He's not your typical backup. I mean, this is a guy that's got a ton of NFL experience, right? So it's not just you're throwing in like some guy off the street, where a lot of these backups these days, you're kind of like... This guy's got 9 snaps in his career.
Remember there were teams this year we couldn't name? Remember when the Cardinals, I was like, quick, who's the Cardinals backup? We couldn't name him.
Yeah.
I just think it's because of the nature of the game, because of the nature of the Bills become too. They've been the hot team that people have been betting on. I mean, Josh Allen's blown up this year. Diggs obviously having a great year. I think for the public bettors, I think they would be overwhelmed by betting that versus a Chad.
Miguel, what you said, I think, is definitely correct. It's also built into this is the opponent with it being the Bills, right? Because again, if you think that Henny is worth, you know, 2 fewer scoring drives over the course of a game where this Bills offense has essentially been unstoppable all year long against most defenses, well, that's enough to make it like, you know, 7 point, you know, 7 point, 8 point type swing or something like that, because you're getting stopped on 2 additional drives where Patrick Mahomes, you assume, would not get stopped. And you're assuming the Bills just do what the Bills do, right? And so you build all that stuff. This is really fascinating, though, that like the
fact that they put up the line when they did, starting there, like that's what made this week so fascinating. It's like everybody was so willing to throw out that number, and I was just incredulous. And Johnny, good for him. That's the most honest thing. He's like, it wouldn't be up. This is a regular season game. It still wouldn't be up. So it's an interesting thing. We're being rude to our guest, though.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, from VEASAN, he contributes to Point Spread weekly and really shows up on all of our programs because he's beloved by all. Ladies and gentlemen, UFC expert and beyond, it's Lou Finicaro. How you doing, Lou?
I'm doing great. Hey, I was enjoying the conversation, and I kind of agree with everyone. But listen, Henny is a very experienced backup, and Henny to Mahomes is reasonably 7. Any more than that, then we bettors get to be involved in the contrarian move against the tsunami wave that is overreaction. And if it was anyone other than Henny, the number would probably be larger. Either way, whichever way we can find an overreaction, it creates opportunity, in my opinion. And I didn't mean for us to segue back to your
conversation. Listen, we want to talk football too.
Yeah,
for sure.
Trust me. Who did you end up betting this weekend, Lou? Let's start there.
At 2.5, I took Kansas City on Tuesday, and my full reason for that is that I believe on my grandmother's grave that Mahomes is playing. I'm not worried about neck or head. I'm worried about toe more than anything. And to have Kansas City at 2.5, it was my belief that once he is substantiated as the starter, he'll move to that number moves to 3 or 3.5, and then I have options if I want to get cute or more advantage in the fact that I have a home team favorite at less than the key number three.
Man, that is just every time I get more and more excited the more we talk about these games. I mean, like as they get closer, I'm getting super super excited. But let's get to UFC 257. This will be the prelude here. But like we said, probably some parlays running in from Saturday night into Sunday as well. Lou, just before we get to the main card, are there any fights on the prelim card that you have in the account or that you think that people might want to take a look at?
You know, I was tracking the Muradov Andrew Sanchez fight, to be honest with you. That is that's a very interesting fight. Andrew Sanchez opens -175. Currently, he's +125 or so. So the favorite has switched, and it's switched aggressively. This happened a week ago, Saturday, in a fight where a French female, Fiorot, was fighting a little sawed-off wrestler from Seattle named Leonarda, and I bit on Leonarda and took the advantage and got shish kebabbed as Fiorot looked dominant. So I'll draw people's attention to that. I was ready to take a look at Sanchez, but I think I'll back off. And that was really the only fight on the undercard that I was really gearing up for. I have two or three positions on the main card that I have much more confidence in.
Ooh, I like that. Let me ask the Matt Brown question here, which is, do you take a Conor McGregor fight and really wait for it to play out money-wise differently than your typical fight in UFC? That is to say, mostly we can, you know, how fights behave is different. So when Conor McGregor's involved, the Conor McGregor money flows, period. And then you can almost find value on the dog. Typically, it works the other way. Do you subscribe to that? Did we lose Lou? My question was amazing.
Oh, I'm sorry. In this particular case, if you wanted McGregor, I think you wanted to take him already. There's a tsunami wave that will come and always will come on him. However, I believe, just like all sports, that the closer we get to the dropping of the puck, if you will, or the bell to the first round, that the dogs are always gaining value as we get closer to the drop of the puck. Beware of the popular dog in mixed martial arts.
All right, Lou, so you said you have a couple of fights that you like here on the main card. What are you? Which one are you starting out with?
Well, I'll start with the co-main event. I think that's the fight that fits in the best. Michael Chandler is an extremely well-rounded, solid mixed martial artist. He comes with a wrestling background, which I think is mandatory for championship fighters, or it's highly desirable. He's explosive and powerful, but in the last 5 years or so, hasn't faced the competition that his adversary, Hooker from New Zealand, has faced. Hooker's the taller man, the longer man, the younger man, all advantages, especially in a stand-up fight. And in this fight, the cat and mouse will be that Chandler wants to get in and smother Hooker's length and try and wrestle him up or at least grapple with him. Hooker must not allow that and wants to keep Chandler at the end of his strikes and lethal kicks. Hooker happens to train at City Boxing in New Zealand, where he trains with Israel Adesanya, the 185-pound champion who's a striking savant, just like Conor McGregor. As well, he trains with Alexander Volkanovski, who is a sawed-off ex-rugby player that is a wrestling phenom. Hooker's been versed and trained for what Chandler is going to bring to him, and he opened about -160. The line has come down on him, and you can catch him -120 or so. I think Dan Hooker is a great opportunity on this card.
What was the other one on the main card before we get to the main event?
Yeah, now this one I have to be a linguist to make their names, but it's Sarukyan against Hakparest. And in this fight, I don't see it on the screen, but it's I believe it to be on the main card. This is a fight where Sarukyan, 24 years old, he's an Armenian fighter, explosive, dynamic. His last three fights have been so impressive. He's fighting a kid in Hakparest that lost two fights ago by KO, and it looked bad. Prior to that loss, Hakparest was what Sarukyan is trying to be now. And I think that the loss helps Hakparest. And Sarukyan, even young, 24 years old, is maybe in for a lesson here. Again, Hakparest opened plus 150. He's plus 225 now and rising. So be patient. Watch this one grow. But I think Hakparest is very live.
Ooh. Let's get to the main event here. As you mentioned, this has gotten, you know, Conor McGregor over $3 at this point, anywhere between, you can see, find 310 all the way to 325, basically on Conor. You can get Dustin kind of somewhere in that 250, 255, 260-ish range, depending on where you look. On top of who you like in the fighter, if you find any value on a side, is there anything else? Maybe total rounds? Do you like the over-under there? Do you like any sort of method of victory type deal, or are you just playing this one straight up?
I'm having a hard time finding a way to make any kind of reasonable release on this fight. It's my opinion that Conor is such a special athlete. If I know he's focused for this fight, and he appears to be so, and has trained appropriately, that he's going to be at a level that all the other lightweights are going to be beyond. McGregor has slept in silk sheets. He takes private jets and he drinks champagne, and that's never been good for a champion as many years as I've been in the fight game. That said, Dana White has come out and said that he and Conor are now in a good place. That means Conor's focused, in my opinion. Poirier, as dynamic as he is, he's had six fights in the last 6 years while Conor has had, since the Floyd fight, while Conor has fought twice since the Floyd fight. There's too many compelling reasons to go back and forth, but at the end of the day, I believe Conor McGregor is going to finish Dustin Poirier. And for that reason, I'd try and find something that would look like an under 2.5, or Conor McGregor in round 2 or round 3, something like that. But it would be a lunch money bet, because Poirier should not be underestimated. He's durable, tough, and he must find a way to navigate this fight to the third or fourth round in order to have a chance. I'm not sure if he can get that done.
McGregor, who says he wants to fight 7 times now over the next 18 months. We'll see if that happens. Has 4 left on his contract, by the way. What do you like the best of the bunch then? What's the one you stand by the most? What's your best one?
I'm gonna put my flag up on Hooker and Hakparest. I'll be taking a look at Zhumagulov in the undercard. He's about a pick. He's a Kazakhstani fighter. That'll be a small wager. And then, of course, the wager on the main event at Will Hill. There's a proposition Conor McGregor wins in round 3 or round 4. That's plus 600 currently. That's probably where I'm going to end up for just a small little lunch money wager.
Okay. Lou Finicaro at Gamblu, one of the great Twitter handles, J-A-M-B, Lou. Lou, we appreciate it. We're all excited. Great weekend, man. Football and UFC 257 with Conor McGregor should be awesome.
Doesn't get any better. I sure appreciate you having me on, and great show, you guys. You do a great job.
Thanks so much, appreciate Lou. It. Very kind of you. Lou Finicaro, always Johnny on the spot when it comes to UFC.
He's too kind. We have our moments. He's too kind.
That's Lou, right. Yeah. We have our moments. We just wing it.
Yeah. We've had behind the scenes conversations of rank the nicest human beings that we have on the
Yes,
PC,
we have.
Because we have a lot. Lou's right at the top.
Nicest Dwayne human
Colucci,
being ever.
Dwayne Colucci, Bruce Marshall in that conversation. Oh, man, you can't find nicer guys out there. And I
We're
will
my bottom
say,
third? My bottom third?
Yeah, Matt Brown did not come up in that conversation.
I'm bottom third?
You two are way
down there. we're way down there, Gil.
Wow,
the other thing I'll say about
at least we're the best at being the worst.
Yes.
Yes, that's the way to look at it.
Lou loves picking at dogs in UFC. So when I see Lou picking a favorite in that with Hooker, that rings some bells to me.
Oh, that's actually a very good point.
Yeah.
He is a dog first guy.
He usually is a dog first guy. So seeing him pick a favorite is I've got that circled.
And Gil, he he answered the question just in a different way when you asked. Like he said kind of what we're saying as well, that just the money on Connor is going to come regardless. It doesn't matter. So, you know, again, if you're looking to play Poirier like I am, I would seriously just wait until 2 hours to an hour before the fight. I mean, it's we just heard, you know, we just heard Johnny say that 5% of the handle of this NFL game has only come in so far. There's nobody betting, no casual
better. 2% for
this. Like no casual better has even thought about betting UFC 257 yet. So that is going to be a more favorable number by the time that this rolls around. And, you know, again, I like Dustin. I think he's a better wrestler. I think he's better at jiu-jitsu at this. You know, I mean, Connor can definitely put him to sleep, but if he can't, I think it could be a very, very, very live fight for Dustin. If I'm going to get 3-1 on him, which it looks, I mean, it's up to 255 already. We might be able to get 3-1 on this, and that value to me is just too much.
I am going to be watching this on Saturday night.
One of my New Year's resolutions was to not go out of my way to gamble too much on UFC. Gil, we'll see what happens on Saturday.
That's why I bring it up. I'm like, I, in the middle of the week, have no interest, and then by game time, I'm like, yeah, I gotta watch
this. Let's do this!
Let's go!
The Leroy Jenkins moment, you know.
Something might be wrong with us. Lakers by 9, 7-12 left in the third. I think we're looking good so far. Long way to go. We're coming back on VSiN's Primetime Action.
It's Pegasus World Cup Week, and First Bet is giving new and existing customers a $20 risk-free bet to celebrate the first major horse racing event of the year. Register at first.com/bet/Vegas and place a win bet. If your horse doesn't win, you get your money back up to $20. If you're a horse racing fan, First Bet is the place for you. With wagering on races at over 300 tracks and AI-assisted picks, it is the easiest way to bet on your favorite sport with secure payments, attentive customer service, and a reliable website. Sign up using the promo code VEGAS100 today, and new customers get up to $100 match bonus on your first deposit. Visit first.com/bet/Vegas for details. That's 1st.com/bet/Vegas. Promo code VEGAS100. And remember, if you love live in-game action, then make sure you download the free Odds Trader app right now so you can start winning with the up-to-the-second info you need. Gil.
That was very... We spent the break watching what Matt was referencing right before. Could you explain to people what that was?
If you haven't seen the Leroy Jenkins like video online, you have to see it. It's over 10 years old now at this point.
It's one of the funniest things ever.
It's just so great. They're strategizing for 3 minutes on how they're going to go about this attack in this online video game, and the guy just stops in the middle and just goes, "Let's do this, Leroy!" And he just runs in the room by himself. Why? And then it's like, "Oh God, oh God, Leroy, what are you doing?"
Oh, that's because we were talking about it. Like, I'm not watching this UFC fight, and then Saturday we're like all into it. That's how it came up.
Yeah, he's making fun of that. He was saying that will be me by the time Saturday.
Yeah, that's your Leroy Jenkins moment. You're just going to be sitting there, and you're just going to be like, "Let's do this."
Well, by the time I've got 6 Crown and Cokes in me by 10 o'clock, let's go. The better part, though, that the audience really misses in between breaks was the video was great. I knew that was going to be great. But when Matt starts explaining what World of Warcraft is to Gil, those are the moments we really need capital.
Oh, yeah. This looks vaguely familiar.
It's my favorite clip still to this day. I mean, like, there's been a decade for something to top that, and
I think the essence of what's so funny about that is if you have a dude's brain, right? Like, just some people, it doesn't matter what the strategizing, he's all in. Like, oh, so
I mean, I can see luckily there's not an NFL game on Saturday before the fight, so that will help. But, like, oh my gosh, if one of my golfers is in contention, that will be enough reason for me to be like, I basically got money in the bank. Let's go, UFC.
Lakers by 8, 78-70. This hasn't really narrowed here in the third quarter. 4:40 left in the third quarter of the Lakers Bucks game. We're all in except for Kelly. Kelly never got in on this, right?
Loser. No.
I had a very well-timed plus 149, at least if this holds, but there's a long way to go, more than a quarter of basketball. But Lakers, who have not lost a road game yet this year, kind of, this, you know, I guess, you know, some of the thinking is this is a game they'll get up for. It's the Bucks, right?
Yeah. And I think that if there's anything that we can take from this, obviously you can't get in before this game now, and there is stuff, you know, we're an in-game show, so you could have got in when Gil got in. But one of the reasons I came in at the 110, again, is just watch this kind of moving forward, especially with this Lakers team, that at almost every single game, they're going to list LeBron and Anthony Davis as questionable. And so just, yeah, you got to do a little bit of gut feeling and stuff like that. But like, they were not sitting this game. You know what I'm saying? Like, they were not sitting against the Bucks. Like, that was not going to happen.
Never going
to
happen.
You know, there was, you're getting the Lakers at plus money for that little bit of doubt that's kind of lingering out there, which you just never get the Lakers at plus money.
Yeah, and it's, you know, we talk live betting approaches and all the time. And I think for, you know, for me with NBA, a lot of the times is, okay, if I can break it down, I get a pregame number I like. I think Matt's strategy was great with this game tonight. If I can get a pregame number I like, I'll fire on it. A lot of times with my leans, you know, or heavy leans that I have on games, it become live betting opportunities. I would say that was a game tonight. The one thing that's important with live betting is sometimes, you know, opportunities aren't going to present themselves. They don't. You got to be okay with it.
Got to be okay.
You
know? So the train leaves the station, you got to just let it go.
That was what, you know, I was targeting the Suns last night and hoping to get in on them live last night. They were blowing out the Rockets until the Rockets really kind of came back in the fourth quarter. But, you know, it was a game that never had an opportunity. And it's, you know, it stinks, but, you know, it's something you got to be okay with.
What about in-game for, well, we only have a few seconds here before the break, but in-game for Sunday with those NFL games. I mean, that Chiefs game, we were talking about this on the Megapod a little, right? We're speculating, hey, how's Mahomes going to do? Really, maybe we're off the scent of the real injury, which is the foot. Maybe you watch a drive or two. That was a good point made by our buddy Todd Wishnet. Maybe you watch a drive or two and you're like, all right, assess. If Patrick Mahomes looks like, you know, vintage Patrick Mahomes, that's one thing. If he doesn't, whole different thought.
Yeah, absolutely.
Maybe that's an in-game kind of bet right there. Lakers by four. Shouldn't have opened our mouths. 3:29 left in the third quarter in Milwaukee. A whole bunch of basketball to be played there. We'll update everything, including hockey and college hoops as well. Coming back on VSiN's Primetime Action.
Become a VSiN All Access member today and get all of our expert VSiN betting analysis for NFL Conference Championship Weekend and every sport in action for less than $22 per month. Receive daily emails with our best bets from guests and hosts, 24/7 video access, and our point spread weekly betting guides. It's everything you need to increase your sports betting IQ, so start your free trial right now at VSiN.com/subscribe. Gil?
Thank you, Danielle. Tracking the hockey game here, Andy McNeil, who is our hockey guy on the show, he often chimes in while we're on the air. By the way, he had Winnipeg as a pre-flop today. They rolled. They were coasting 4-0 over Ottawa. I think it's 4-1. Is that a final now, I believe? So he hit that easily.
Yes.
But we were already on air when that had started. But he is chiming in about this Tampa Bay-Columbus Blue Jackets game. Which is 50 seconds away from going to extra time here. So we shall see what happens if that gets there. But he was chiming in, and, you know, we have this show that gets in our way sometimes. But he was letting me know that there might be an opportunity on the Lightning here. And I'm not sure if, you know, how widespread live lines will be available here during the break. But one of the things he was mentioning in this game is that Torts, the coach for the Blue Jackets, is spiteful enough to sit his best forward, and that probably isn't priced into the line. So Pierre-Luc Dubois had not played in 20 minutes of this game. He remains on the Columbus Blue Jackets bench. So an angle where the Blue Jackets coach, John Tortorelli, is sitting a key player here. And so I'm not sure how widespread a live line, but now I think it's kind of moot at this point. I wish, again, thank you to Andy for that, but I didn't get it in time because apparently it was 2-1 at the time,
it
maybe.
Was two, yeah, yeah, it was 2-1. Yeah.
Anyway,
that game's
sorry about
all
that.
Tied at 2. Yeah, what do you got? 5 seconds left before the
I got to multitask. I got to look at the texts while we're doing stuff. So
yeah, and I don't see, I do not see live numbers up currently.
No, and it's already, it's too few seconds now left. So anyway, what could have been? Sorry, guys. Didn't mean to tease with that.
Let me a little over timeline.
But these are the things these are the things that, you know, happen during a game that you can't anticipate, and that's what makes in-game betting as awesome as it is with some of these. All right, Lakers right now. Kelly, want an update here on some of these?
Yeah, we got end of third in Milwaukee. Lakers, 86. Bucks, 81. Lakers, 3.5 live, 222.5 live total. College basketball, a few games in action. Indiana at Iowa. Iowa up 35-28. There are 3 minutes remaining in the first half there. Iowa still an 11.5-point live favorite, 154.5. They're pretty good at this whole basketball thing. UCLA, what's your number, Danielle? Is it -4 in the first half?
-4.5.
-4.5. Okay, yeah. They're trailing right now. Cal is up 28-25.
I'm trying to understand why.
She was just presenting her laptop to us as, look at this.
Yeah.
3:45 left to go in the first half. UCLA, 2.5-point live favorite, 137.5 live total in that game. Arizona up on Arizona State, 25-21. 5:15 left to go in the first half there. Arizona, 5.5-point live favorite, 147.5 live total. And over in the hockey, live line did just pop if you want to get in on that overtime game. -120 on the Lightning, -110 coming back the other way on the Blue Jackets. 5.5 total, heavily juiced to the under. Flyers and Bruins are also tied up. They're tied at 4, 130 remaining in the game there. So another one that could be heading to overtime. Couple games about to get going. 6:45 Pacific, puck drop. Canadians at the Canucks. Canadians go off as a -145 favorite, +132 coming back on Vancouver. 6.5 total in that game. Avs and Kings at 10:08 Eastern. Avalanche -235. Kings +207. 5.5 is the total there. And in the NBA tonight, two more games coming to starting at 10:05 Eastern. Knicks at Warriors. We're still holding steady. It looks at 5 basically everywhere. Warriors favored 215.5 in total in that game. Jazz 7-point favorite over the Pelicans. 217.5 the total there. I have nothing on that game tonight. You guys might remember I hit the Jazz pretty heavily the other night. This is a great example of a great three-point shooting team versus a team that cannot guard that line whatsoever. I am just still a little gun-shy of betting these games that are back-to-back situations with these same teams. I want a larger sample size to see how these are playing out.
If you do want the Jazz, there are 6.5s available out there as well. I see 1, 2, 3, 4 on the books that are available across the country here. So if you are in one of the jurisdictions with multiple books, be sure and take a look because there are 6.5s available if you do like the Jazz side.
Yeah, it might be a live betting spot for me tonight. I think that's even when you talk about what you're looking in live betting teams. I mean, a team that can shoot threes versus a team that can't guard them, it's about as good as it gets. So that's the only thing I'd be doing with that game tonight. Knicks Warriors. God bless you. I got nothing for you on that game. A Warriors team's tough to figure out. That Knicks defense is good, but they got trouble putting the ball in the basket. So I'm staying away from that one.
I'm gonna say Warriors win, but I'm not touching that number. Yeah. That's for sure.
But the first thing Warriors laying 5 is pretty hefty.
Danielle, what were you saying? So what are your UCLA bets, and what did you say? You said something pretty amusing.
I said I'm trying to figure out why they're down to Cal, but I'm starting to see why. They've only taken 5 3-pointers, and they've only made one of them. So 20% from 3 for them in the first half so far, and Cal's been shooting 66%, 6 of 9.
That'll
for 3.
Do it.
So that is apparently what's going on. They do have some very solid shooters on the Cal team. They're like their key guys that do tend to have really high shooting percentages.
Cal basketball.
Doing well.
You ever been in like somewhere at the time and you didn't realize like what you were witnessing? When I moved to the Bay Area, so we're talking 95, mid-90s, Jason Kidd.
Danielle was 3.
Yeah, okay. Danielle was 3. Jason Kidd had just left Cal. I mean, think about that program at the time. Jason Kidd had just left. And I was sitting right behind the bench. They had Tony Gonzalez, who, of course, had a Hall of Fame NFL career, played basketball at Cal. Sharif Abdur-Rahim, who was the freshman coming in, who ended up having a great NBA career. He was, like, already better than everybody. And then they had, like, guys like Jelani Gardner, Tremaine Folks. They were just a great basketball program.
I didn't know that Tony – I knew Tony Gonzalez played basketball.
Yeah.
I didn't know he played at Cal.
Yeah, played at Cal. But – Todd Bozeman, and then that was the end of that program. So, but Danielle woke up the gods because she insulted Cal. And then what? And you insulted your father off air. Would you like to share with everybody what you said?
I always fade my father's advice. Yeah, my dad's advice. I can't get into it. Okay. I was trying to do a money line parlay between UCLA, which I still believe could be good, and a WCC team, and it's not going well.
But you don't have a first half bet here.
On UCLA, I do.
Oh, you do have a first half bet. Oh,
minus
okay.
4.5.
All right. I was going to say there's still time, but perhaps not for the first half bet. We'll come back. I want to ask Matt, Kelly, and Danielle about Dan Campbell's opening press conference for the Detroit Lions. Good Lord. Coming back on VSiN's Primetime Action.